Every week I say that, but this is really very beautiful. It's a very, very nice shloka. So, in fact, in one of the commentaries, it says that the Gita is rising to its height and it reaches in this shloka. So, this is not only my opinion, but one of the other commentators also. So, let's read the 26th verse. Also, if you like to hear stories, this is it for you. This book, this shloka is full of stories. So, we read verse number 26. Patram pushpam phalam toyam.
Patram pushpam phalam toyam.
Yome bhaktya prayachati.
Yome bhaktya prayachati.
Tadaham bhaktyupahritam.
Tadaham bhaktyupahritam.
Ashnami prayatatmanah. So whether you offer me a leaf or a flower or a fruit or even water, yo means yaha, whoever that person may be, he or she, yaha is a very generic pronoun, means whoever it may be, young or old, man or woman, black or white, tall or short, whoever that person may be, me to the Lord, he says, me, bhaktya prayachati, bhaktya, by devotion, bhaktya is the third case, it is the instrumental case. So, with devotion, he prayachati, he offers, brings to me, he or she, offers to me whatever, a flower or a fruit or a leaf or even water, brings to me with devotion. That's very important, with devotion, bhaktya, with love. Tadham aham bhakti upahritam, that offering, the Lord says, bhaktya upahritam, by offered with devotion. When that is offered with love and devotion to me, ashnami prayatatmanah, I accept it. Ashnami means I eat. So here by eating, he does not mean physically eating. I accept it. I take it. But it has to be prayatatmanah. It has to be the pure minded. So there are two qualities. When you offer anything to the Lord, it has to be done with love and devotion. And it has to be offered by with a pure mind. Not that by giving that I should get something in return. When you are offering something and then you are expecting a return, then it becomes a business. Lord, I offered you a candle. Now make sure I get that contract, you know, worth $1 million. Then that is a business, you know. Or I went to the temple and I prayed. Why? So that I. So he says no. Offer it to me with a pure-minded devotion and total love. So whatever you offer, it says, whatever you bring to me, do it with love and devotion. This, I think this shloka has been put in there because Arjuna was a child of the Vedas. And in the Vedic times, they used to do elaborate rituals for hours, you know, and the priest would come and do a lot of rituals and you know, rituals are good if you're sitting and remembering the Lord. But the idea was that the rituals alone are the way. You know, that alone is the way. There is no other way. And the priest would say, you know, if you want to reach God, call me and then you pay me so much money and then I will do the ritual. So then it becomes, you know, just an offering or a business. But when the ritual is done with pure love and devotion, then that ritual also can take you to the highest. But how about somebody who doesn't have time to sit for 3 hours to do the rituals or doesn't have the money or doesn't have the means to organize a big yajna? So the Lord says, it doesn't matter. Whatever you bring to me, bring it with love and devotion. So we'll spend some time because why does he use these 4 examples? Because we have 4 beautiful stories. So these stories will take some time. If we don't finish, we'll continue this verse next week. So first he says, Patram, offer me a leaf. And we have a beautiful story about Draupadi. Those who don't know who Draupadi was, with this Mahabharata, this Bhagavad Gita, this is part of the Mahabharata. There was a conflict between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. The Pandavas were 5 and they were good, and the Kauravas were 100 and they were evil. And it is said the Pandavas, all five had one common wife. And her name was Draupadi. She had married all 5 of them. There is a story associated with that too, but we don't go into that. But she, Draupadi, and of course, each one of those brothers had their own wife, but then they had a common wife, Draupadi, who was with them. In fact, she went with them to the forest, you know, as and the Pandavas were challenged to a game of dice by the Kauravas, by the evil brothers, and in the game of dice, they cheated them. And part of the thing was that whoever loses this game of dice has to go to the forest for 12 years. And so the Pandavas, being honest and truthful, you know, they played and they lost, so they had to go to the forest. So the five brothers went, and Draupadi went with them. She was a devotee of them. She was, you know, she loved them all. She was a very, very sweet person, very nice. And she was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. She was a great devotee of the Lord. And it is said that the Pandavas, because they were good and the poor, they had to wander the forest. And, you know, they grew up as kings and, you know, princes. And, you know, they didn't know how to live and manage in the forest. It was a very hard life. So it is said that, I don't know, Krishna or one of the gurus, I think Vedvyas or somebody, gave them a pot. Now he blessed that pot, and the beauty of that pot was that you could cook in it, and whatever food you wanted, you could, it would appear in that pot. You didn't have to find the ingredients. You wanted rice, it would have rice. You wanted dal or whatever you wanted. And you could get as much as you wanted. If there were 5 people, you could feed 5. If there were 100 people, you could feed 100 people. If there were 1,000 people, it could feed 1,000. That was the glory of that particular pot. But the speciality of that was that you could only get it one time in the day. So you had to eat only one meal. And once you eat that one meal, then the pot will not produce any more till the next day. So Pandavas were, you know, they were sattvic people. They said, that's good. Once a day we eat, that's plenty. Because they used to spend a lot of time in prayer and meditation. And Arjuna was doing all his meditation to acquire the weapons and all, because he wanted to, you know, fight the war and take revenge. So they used to do that. Every day they would invoke, you know, offer prayers to the pot and cook, and whatever food they wanted would appear. So one day they had eaten their food and it was done. The pot was, you know, the cooking was already over and they had already eaten. And the Kauravas were evil, so they played a trick on them. What they did was, there was a sage called Durvasa, a rishi, who was a great, had acquired a lot of powers with his meditation, but had not been able to conquer his anger. He still used to get very angry, and it is said when he got angry, he would curse you, so you would, whatever he would curse, like we said, the negative thoughts would come true. That much spiritual power he had. So there are people like that who have spent so much time in acquiring spiritual powers, but still have not been able to overcome the human weaknesses, you know, because we are all human and we are all trying to evolve. So this particular sage, and he had several hundred monks, you know, sadhus, mahatmas, who used to go with him. So wherever he traveled, he would go with hundreds of these renunciates. And then, but he would go to like a king's palace and the king would feed him. And then from there, he would go to some rich man's house. So he also knew that, you know, but it is said the Kauravas told him, you know, the Pandavas, they want you to come and visit them. So why don't you go visit them at their house? Because they were saying, so he said, where are they? He said, oh, they're in that forest, in their little hut. They're living, go visit them. So he said, okay. So he showed up one day and they had just finished lunch. And the pot had already given the food for the 5 people and the wife, 6 of them. And so he shows up with 200-300 now renunciates. And Draupadi got worried. Oh my God, the guests have come. And it is part of the, you know, custom that you have to feed them lunch. And then she was afraid that if I don't feed him, Durvasa is known for his anger. And if for some reason he gets angry and curses me, what will happen? And so she was so worried. Oh my God, and this pot is now, you know, already has, we have eaten. And how am I going to feed them? And she was so stressed out and all. And she was wondering and thinking. And in the meantime, Durvasa says, you know, me and my followers, we're going to go to the river to take a bath. And when we come back, please make lunch for us. Now she's even more worried. You know, 200 people I have to feed. And where am I going to find? And she's stressing out and she's wondering. And there Krishna walks in smiling and happy. You know, Lord Krishna, he just appeared there. So he said, what are you doing? So she says, you know, what am I doing? Don't bother me now. I'm very busy. So she was a great devotee of the Lord, but at that time she was angry. go away, don't bother me. No, tell me what's the problem, you're looking stressed out. I can't tell you, just go away from here. Krishna says, I am hungry, you know, can you give me some food? So she says, you too? You know, I have already 200 and you also want to eat? I have nothing, go away. So he says, no, look in the pot, there must be something left. She said, what are you talking? Don't you know you are the Lord? You know everything and you know that we have just eaten and there's nothing in the pot and I have to feed you plus those 200 and you know how angry that Durvasa gets? So he says, no, check the pot. And then he looks in there and there's a little leaf left over from the food. He says, is it okay if I eat this? So she says, go ahead and eat it. You know, he's not going to feed the 200 anyway. So he takes that leaf and puts it in the mouth. And it is said when the Lord of the universe is fed, all those 200 people, their stomach gets so full that they can't even eat another bite. And they, from there itself, they send a message, you know, we are leaving. He said, why aren't you going to come for lunch? No, we are too full. We want nothing more to eat. So that leaf offered with devotion to the Lord nourished 200 people. So that is the idea, that whatever you offer to him, offer with love. Even her offering, even though it was in anger, but you can only get talk like this to somebody whom you love. See, if you don't, if a stranger comes, you're not going to tell him, you know, tu and all that, you know. But she loved Krishna, and so she could talk to him as tu, as one of her, as her brother. That's how she used to treat him. So the idea is that when you offer anything, even a leaf, says offered to me with love, I accept it. But it has to be offered with love and with a pure mind. Then we come to Pushpam, flower. And this is another very beautiful story. It is said there was an elephant who was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Now they say, oh, how can animals? But in our scriptures, they believe that if you have done, say, if you have been a devotee of the Lord and you have done a lot of good deeds, and you have been thinking, but suppose something you did was particularly bad, then maybe for a short while you may be born in an animal form where you undergo those karmas, those actions, and then you can go back and resume your journey back to human. There is a great rishi who also Jad Bharat, the story also where this great rishi was born as a deer for a short while. So anyway, this elephant called Gajendra was a great devotee of the Lord and always had worshipped Lord Vishnu in his previous birth. And all the time, even though he was an elephant wandering the forest, he used to remember Lord Vishnu at all times. So it is said, these are all stories. The idea of the story is that rather than focusing on the fact, see the devotion of the person who is offering. That is the idea. That's why these stories are very important. So this elephant went in to drink water and he stepped in further. Both his feet were there and his trunk, and he was trying to drink water. He was very thirsty. And it is said a powerful crocodile caught the elephant and caught his leg, and the elephant crocodile's grip is very strong. And so the crocodile was pulling the elephant in the water because he wanted to devour him, and the elephant was trying to fight. But see, even though the elephant is stronger than the crocodile, but in the water, you know, the crocodile is more powerful because he is in his own element and the elephant is on land. But here in the water, his feet are slippering. It is all moss there. And so the crocodile is pulling his leg and elephant is going under and under, and he's afraid that I'm going to get devoured by this crocodile. So he immediately remembers Lord Vishnu. And what does he do with the trunk? There was a flower growing like a water lily. So he breaks that with his trunk and just raises it up and said, oh Lord Vishnu, I offer you this flower. And the moment he did it, it is said, the story, that Lord Vishnu was sitting in Vaikunth Loka with Lakshmiji, and Lakshmiji had just prepared lunch and he was just about to eat lunch. And he said, wait a minute, I can't eat. My devotee is in distress. So she said, you know, lunch, you know, when food is offered, you're not supposed to leave and run away because it is a disrespect. She said, I don't care. I'll come back. And so it is said he flew there instantly. Of course, the Lord can appear. He instantly appeared on that river and he had a Sudarshan Chakra. It is said that Vishnu has a chakra, which is a wheel which has very sharp spokes, and he can spin it with his hand. And when he spins it and releases it, it has so much force that it can cut anything. And so it is said he released that Sudarshan Chakra and destroyed that crocodile, cut off his neck and saved his devotee. And then he went back and resumed his lunch. So the flower that was offered with devotion, he accepted it. Then there is a story of Palam, Shabri. Most of the Hindus know the story, but those who have not read Ramayana, it's a very beautiful story where Shabri was a very simple village girl. You know, she lived in the forest. She was a forest woman. She, you know, just cut some wood and, you know, did whatever she could, sold it and all, and that's how she made a living. She was a very simple woman, but a great devotee of the Lord. And she served her guru with so much faith. And she all the time remembered Lord Ram, because Ram was an incarnation of the Lord at that time, in that age. So her guru told her that Ram will visit you. The Lord will visit you one day for sure, because you have been so devoted. And you remember him constantly. He will come to your house. And she just took the word as written in stone. My guru has said, that much faith she had. She said, if my guru has said Ram will come, he will come. She had 100% faith. So now if Ram comes, what am I going to offer him? Suppose he shows up today. And every morning she used to wake up and say, Ram will come today. So if he comes today, now what am I going to offer him, right? And all she had was fruits. You know, she around in the forest, all you get is fruit. So she said, I'll give him fruits to eat. So she used to pick these bears. These are like berries. They call them bear, which are sweet. But what she would do is some of them come out sweet and some of them come out sour. So she would pick 20 or 30 and she would taste them all. She would bite them. Because if my Lord comes, I only have to give him sweet berries. I cannot give him sour. So she would bite one edge of it, taste it. And then the sour ones she would throw away. The sweet ones she would keep in a bowl. That when my Lord comes, I'm going to offer him these berries. Now these have already been eaten. But she said, no, that's okay. You know, for... when my Lord comes, how can I give him sour? And how am I going to know whether they are sour or sweet without tasting? So every morning she would pick berries. She would taste them, keep the sweet ones in the bowl. Sour ones she would throw. And at the end of the day, the night Lord didn't come, he won't say, what kind of Bhagavan is this? You know, I picked berries and he hasn't shown up. Forget about this God. I don't want to waste my time. He said, no, he didn't come today. He'll come tomorrow. And so every day in the morning she would do that. And every evening she would say, he didn't come, it's okay, I'll eat those, you know, those berries. And so this went on for years and she never lost hope. She never said that my Lord will not come. All day she was just thinking about the Lord and getting so happy and excited that when my Lord comes, how will I greet him? How will I receive him? How will I meet him? And how happy my heart will be. And tears used to run down her cheeks just thinking about that. And her heart was, all day she was just thinking about his beautiful form. And he comes and how nice he will look with the bow and arrow. And oh, it was beautiful. Her whole day was spent in thinking about the Lord. And so it is said one day, you know, when the Lord Ram was sent to the forest, he was going to the forest and he told Lakshmana and Sitaji. No, Sitaji was not there. I think Sitaji had been already kidnapped. Yeah, Sitaji had been kidnapped. So he and Lakshmana were out searching for Sitaji. And so he was passing by. He said, we need to take a little detour. She said, where? He says, my devotee lives in that hut. I need to go visit her. And so Lakshmana went with her. Okay, so they walked through that and they came to that little hut and Shabri was sitting there. And the moment she saw the Lord, I said, oh my God is here. And she fell at his feet and with her tears, she washed his eyes, with her tears, she washed his feet. You know, just tears were running down. And she said, I can't believe, you know, that my Lord has actually come and blessed me. And she was crying and crying and crying and she wouldn't stop. And then finally, the Lord just picked her up and embraced her. And he said, you know, come on, you know. So then she sat down and then she regained her senses. You know, for a while she didn't know what was happening, where she was. The Shabri story, you should read, it's so powerful. So then she said, now I have to offer something to the Lord to eat, right? Because he has come all the way, he must be tired. So she says, Lord, I have these beautiful berries. They're all very sweet. I've tasted them all myself. And so she offers them and Lakshmana looks at him and she offers to both of them. And the Lord picks it up, Ram, and Lakshmana looks at him. He said, these have been eaten. They're jutha. So he quickly throws them on the side, you know, behind. where she is not watching. But the Ram says, oh, these are offered by my devotee. So he eats each one of them. Even though they have been eaten, one might say this is disrespect. You know, you are tasting something and biting into it and then offering it to the Lord. But the Lord says, what I look at it is your heart. With what kind of devotion and what kind of love are you offering it? It's not what you offer. It is how you offer. It is the feeling behind it, the devotion behind it, the love behind it. And that is what he says, I accept it. Because she was a pure-hearted person, offered it with love. And then the last one is another very beautiful story. It's one of my favorite stories. It's not very well known. This is picture I have drawn is not I have drawn, but I asked Neeru to draw, is of the Shivalinga. Shivalinga, for those who don't know it, is the form of Lord Shiva. It represents the formless. And it is in the shape of a pillar. It's a round pillar with the oval head, and then has a base, and where the priest does, when they do the Abhishek, they offer water and wash it, and then the water runs out of the spout. And it has a little base. So there was this shivaling in a particular temple. And the temple was a little bit isolated. So hardly anybody used to go there. It was very much out in the woods and people had moved away from that area. But there was a priest who lived somewhat far away in the village. And he would go once a day and clean the temple and clean the shivalinga and all that. And do his puja prayers and come back. Now there was this forest dweller, like a hunter. His name was Kannappa Nayanar. That was his name. And he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He always used to remember Lord Shiva. So somehow walking through the forest one day, he came upon this temple. And he saw there is nobody around and this shivaling is, that was only the shivaling was there. There was no form. It was this formless representation. So he said, oh, this is Lord Shiva. So he prostrates. Now he has to worship Lord Shiva, right? Because he, first time ever he has, you know, had an opportunity and there's nobody around, nobody is in that temple. So he says, how am I going to worship? So he says, the Lord, you have to bring food and you have to put water for Abhishek. You have to put water on top to bathe him, right? And that is the way of worshipping Lord Shiva. So he said, now how can I bring food? So what does he do? He's a hunter. So he has a knife in one hand. So he goes around, finds an animal and kills it, you know, with his knife or with his spear. He kills that animal. So now he's holding the animal in one hand, which he has to offer to the Lord because that's the food. And the animal is bleeding. And then he has this knife in the other hand. And now where can I get water? So he goes to the river, takes water in his mouth. And then he comes and offers that meat with the blood to the shivaling. And then he spits with his mouth on that shivaling. And he does that every day, you know, with great devotion. So, total love. So, the priest one day, apparently he was sick or whatever, wasn't able to go for a few days. And he goes there and he says, oh my God, what is this meat and blood on the Lord? And what is this water and all? So, he gets very upset. So, he cleans all the meat out and gets clean water and pours it. You know, who has dirtied this shivling? Must be some horrible person. So he goes, and then next day he comes, again by that time the hunter has come, and he has again offered a piece of meat with blood on it, and spit means with his mouth, you know, full of water, he has offered it to the Lord. And so, you know, then again he said, what is this happening? So he cleans it. Third day he comes, the priest, and now he starts coming every day, and he says, who's dirtying this Lord? And third day again there is blood and, you know, all this water, so he said, let me hide and see. So that day he doesn't go home, he hides in one corner behind a tree. And then he finds this hunter coming with a knife and with blood in his hands and with this animal that he has killed. And then he's spitting on the, you know, with his mouth, he's doing kulla and water. He comes and tells him, get out of here, you know, what kind of an evil person you are. You are insulting the Lord, you don't know how to worship. And this is how you worship the Lord, get out of here, don't ever come back, you have done so much papa that for many generations you will not be, you know, all your generations will go to hell. Not only you, but your children, grandchildren, great, sa janam tak, you cannot. And so this poor guy, you know, he feels so bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. I've done a horrible thing. I have insulted the Lord. And so he said, I'm not going to come anymore. And so he just from far, he watches, but he doesn't no longer bring the meat and all because he feels that I have done something horrible and he's so sad. And And then he watches the priest worshiping and he says, yeah, you know, I don't know how to worship. But he just keeps remembering the Lord, but from a distance. He doesn't dare to come close. And so one day the priest leaves, and normally the shivling had one eye, but that particular shivling had two eyes. They are these little eye-shaped forms, and they say they represent the eyes of the Lord. And so he finds that one of the eyes is bleeding. And the eye is bleeding, and he says, what happened to my Lord? How did somebody hurt him, or how is the eyes bleeding? So he goes and takes a little leaf. You know, even though he's afraid, but, you know, my Lord is bleeding, I have to take care. So he takes a little leaf, or he tears his own cloth, you know, and he tries to stop the bleeding. And it keeps on bleeding. The blood is running out. And he says, oh my God, what is happening? My Lord is bleeding. What can I do for him? So then he remembers. He says, you know what? I can fix that. So he takes his knife and cuts out one of his eyes and puts it on the shivling. And the bleeding stops. And by miracle, the bleeding stops. And he says, ah, thank God. You know, I took care of it. And then the other eye starts bleeding. You know, what am I to do now? Because the second eye of the Lord is bleeding. Now, I have one more eye. I can give it. That's not a problem. But if I take out my eye, how will I know where the eye is? Where am I supposed to implant it? Right? So he puts his foot on the Lord, you know, where the other eye is. So with my toe, he marks that spot. And then he's taking the knife. So again, you know, to put your foot on the idol is considered a disrespect. But he says, no, I have to mark the spot. So his foot is on that second eye, and with his knife, he's taking out his second eye to implant it. And he's ready to do it. He has no fear of losing his eyes. He says, my Lord should not bleed. And it is said at that time, Lord Shiva appeared and held his hand and said, you know, you don't need to do that. And restored both his eyes, and that bleeding stopped. So the idea is that, you know, you may again say, what kind of story? But the idea is that the water, even though he was offering to the Lord through his mouth, was offered with love, with devotion. And that is what is important. It's not what you offer, he says, but how you offer. Swamiji in his commentary says, it's not that the Lord needs anything. You know, it's not that he wants you to bring a fruit or bring a water or bring a flower. It is that flower or that fruit or that water or even, you know, whatever, maybe a monetary donation, you know, if you're helping the temple or the church or whatever, that becomes a vehicle to transmit your love, just as a spoon. When you're taking a spoon, he's in his commentary, he says, you take a spoon to drink the soup. Now the spoon remains the same. You have finished all the soup. The spoon remained the same, but the spoon becomes a vehicle to transport the soup into your mouth. So that offering that you are making of fruit or flour water or whatever, when you do it with love, then that becomes a vehicle to transport your love to the Lord. And in all the scriptures, they say you must sacrifice. You know, like in the Christian churches, they take a candle. And when you offer candle with love to Jesus, then again, it's not that Jesus needs the candle. You know, the Lord is all perfect, all complete. But by offering that, you are offering your love. That becomes an instrument of love. There's another short story. I'll tell that and end. See, so there was this very poor man. He had very little money, very poor. But what he used to do was every day he would donate one fruit to charity. Some poor man or a hungry person would come. And even though he didn't have money, somehow or the other, he used to get one fruit, buy it. And so that was his duty, that as long as I live, I'm going to do charity. And so one fruit he will donate every day to some poor, hungry person. And so that he did that for his whole life. And he died. And it is said that because he had done so much, even though out of his limited income, he still had the ability. So he did a lot of charity. He died. So he was received very warmly in the heavens. And he was a very wonderful, saintly person, very nice. And he enjoyed heavens for a long period of time. And next life, he was born as a very rich man, very rich, very prosperous, had all the money he wanted, Bill Gates, you know, somebody like that, very rich. So, but he had done so much spiritual sadhana that he remembered his previous life. that I used to offer a fruit. So he said, I have to do the same thing. So every day he would offer a fruit. Every day he would offer a fruit. And after 50, 60, 70 years, he died. And he thought, I am such a noble person. You know, I offered fruits every. And he went there and he was greeted by people and taken to hell. What? You know, I donated fruits, you know, my whole life. In my first life, I donated fruits and I'm taken to heaven. And this life, I've donated fruits, I'm taken to hell. The Lord says, because you could do more. I had given you so much money and you could have done so much more for the benefit of the world. All you could do was give them a fruit. So the idea is that whatever your abilities are, whatever way you can serve the Lord, serve Him, but two factors, love and pure-minded. Not that by building this temple or by doing this, I'll become famous or I'll reserve a seat in heaven or I'll get my next contract or whatever. Offer it with a pure-minded love for the Lord and total sacrifice. And by this sacrifice, O Lord, because after all, suppose I offer a flower. Where am I getting the flower from? The garden. Now, who owns this whole universe? He does. Who made the flower? He did. You didn't. So you are taking a flower that he made from his garden and offering to him. You know, he is the owner. Everything is his. And the flower he made. So what is the purpose of that? So you say, oh Lord, this flower has been made by you, given, this garden has been given to me by you. This beauty of this flower has been created by you. I'm offering it. Please accept it as a token of my love. And that is the beauty of this most wonderful shloka that I think Nana might need, just open that. So offer the flower or offer whatever you can, but offer it with love. Offer it with devotion, offer it with a pure mind and say, oh Lord, this offering, and it can be anything. It can be just a prayer. It can be just a simple, when you are chanting the name of the Lord, I am doing, offering this prayer as an expression of my love. So the emotion behind it is more important than the action. The action is important, but more important is how you do it. It's not easy. So he says, it's not what you give me, it's how you give me. And same thing in our house. You go to somebody's house as a guest and he offered you the most elaborate meal, you know, he or she, 10 dishes. But at the end of the meal insults you, you know, you are useless and all. You feel, you know, what this, you know, what kind of, you know, meal was this? And on the other hand, you go to somebody's house and they offer you a cup of tea with extreme love. You know, I'm so happy you came to my house. Just so you would rather have that cup of tea offered with love than a 10-course meal offered with insults. So it is the motive that is more important than the action. So that is why this shloka is very beautiful, is very powerful. Everybody should read it and remember the stories. I hope stories inspired you. I get very touched when I talk about them. It's very, very beautiful. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.